Luke chapter 1, if you're new to the things of the Bible, it's divided into two groups, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Luke is just a few pages in to that second group, the New Testament. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. This is the word of the living God, and we say, thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray. Now, O Lord, we pray that we might hear from your word again what we have just sung, that our sins are many, but your mercy, O Lord, is more. Help us today, we pray, in this brief time as we look at the word of Christ, that the preaching of the word of Christ may be the word of Christ to his people. Give us aid as we listen and as we proclaim. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have spent several weeks walking through the book of Luke, and I just want to remind you that Luke says in his first opening verses that he wants to give an account that is orderly, an account that is orderly about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that he does this so that his original reader, Theophilus, and all who read it down through the ages might be certain of the things that they have been taught. Luke, compiling all of the true accounts of Jesus Christ, his ministry, his healing, his teaching, writes, and he says, I want you to have certainty, and I want to do it in an orderly way. And part of Luke's order is to structure true facts together in a way that helps us to see themes of all of the scripture coming to pass. So in the first few chapters of Luke, there are five songs. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Boys and girls, they're not necessarily hymn books that you open and see notes or see words to sing at church. But there are five songs in the first few chapters of Luke. And they're sung by different individuals or different groups. Here are those five songs. We'll look at three today. Elizabeth, she sings. Now, she doesn't necessarily do it to the tune of an instrument. But she has a song about blessing. Mary, she sings. And she sings of God's blessing. And Zechariah, he prophesies in poem or song-like form by the Holy Spirit. And what does he proclaim? What does he sing, if you will? He sings about God's blessing. And all of this blessing is about what Jesus has been sent to do. So what I want to do this morning briefly is just look at each of these three individuals. We're going to see three simple things about what they see, what they say about God's blessing. And then by God's grace, as we close quickly, I want to give you four lessons for you to be thinking about this very week. Let's look then at songs of blessing. We left off, if you recall, last week, with the announcements to Zacharias that he was going to have a son, that God was going to bring peace to his people. And the same angel that spoke to Zacharias was sent to Mary to tell her that you are going to carry the Son of God in your womb, and through him the nations will be blessed. So you have two women, one who is young and one who is old. Now coming together, they're related. And here, these two women gather, as the scripture says in verse 39, to a city of Judah. And Mary goes and spends time with Elizabeth several months. And we get a picture of some of the things that are said in this time. So let's look first at Elizabeth. Let's see what Elizabeth sings. Look there in verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, and then here's her song. It's not written with notes. You don't necessarily sing it in church, but listen to what she says. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. What is it that Elizabeth is singing? Well, number one, because of the Spirit of God, a woman sees the Lord of blessing. Let me say that again. Because of the Spirit of God, a woman, in this case Elizabeth, sees the Lord of blessing. Is this not what she says? Look what she says. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And she says three blessings. Blessed are you, Mary, among women. Blessed is the child in your womb. And blessed are you, Mary, who believed. Why? Because the Lord is going to fulfill the things that He told to you and to all of His people down through the ages. If you're new to the things of the Bible, you need to understand that what's happening here you might have heard of in a supermarket or a Walmart shopping around Christmas time. You might have heard Christmas carols where it is sung that a child was born. Maybe you're a believer in Christ, maybe not. And you might be thinking, well, isn't that neat? About two-thirds of the way through the Bible, this child is born that Christians get really excited about. And sure, we'll give gifts and we'll put up trees and we'll celebrate. It's a wonderful time of year, they say. But you need to know that this is not the first time in the Bible that it was proclaimed that a child would be born. All the way back on the first few pages of Scripture in Genesis chapter 3, what do we see? But a promise to the man, Adam, to the woman, Eve, and to the serpent, the snake, Satan himself, that there would come a child who would be born and he would crush the head. The serpent. He would crush Satan. He would crush evil. He would crush sin. And so by the time you get to Luke's gospel, and Elizabeth is singing these words of blessing, blessed is what is in your womb. Blessed is the seed of the woman. She's singing the song that has been sung for thousands of years. She's singing the song of Scripture. In fact, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says. And so, several things happen. Number one, the baby leaps. Now, those of you that have carried children, you've been given that privilege. Perhaps one, two, many, multiple children. You know that babies move. And so, you might be thinking, well, that's a good detail, but babies move in the womb. It's a precious thing. It's a glorious thing. Reminding us that they're true and living people in the womb that we ought to protect. The baby leaps, but we're not given this detail just as a reminder that John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth was a normal baby. We're meant to see the connection here. Look at verse 44. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Elizabeth is saying, what's happening here is this one, filled with the Spirit, already recognizes what's happening. And was this not what was said earlier in chapter 1? Look at Luke 1, verse 15. The angel talks to Zacharias, the son of Elizabeth's baby, who would be called John. And he says this, he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Zacharias, the child in your wife's womb, the child that you are cynical to believe will exist, will be filled from conception with the Holy Spirit. But not only is John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit, in verse 41 we see that Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, and so she is seeing things that others won't see yet. Because of the Holy Spirit, which is a theme throughout the book of Luke, by the way, the Holy Spirit is everywhere in this book. Because of the Spirit of God, a woman, Elizabeth, sees the Lord of blessing. Now, boys and girls, Jesus hadn't been born yet from Mary's tummy. It's not that she saw baby Jesus like in the manger, but the Spirit caused her to see what was happening. Sounds miraculous, but I would submit to you that every one of you in this room today that believes in Jesus Christ, you've trusted in Him by faith alone. You're clinging to Him as your righteousness, as the one who took your sins to the cross and to the grave. You, by the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, have seen the Lord. Belief comes by the Spirit's grace. So what is she saying? Blessed are you among women. Now, we as Protestants sometimes get a little bit cautious here. But it's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. Blessed are you among women. Mary will later say as she sings that generations will call her blessed. We need to avoid what many of our Roman Catholic friends do with Mary and almost make her equal to God. Almost. They wouldn't say it like that. But we as Protestants also need to be clear that the Scripture says that Mary has been shown favor here. We don't revere her. We don't worship her. But we can say yes. Until the Lord comes, as the gospel is proclaimed and people are saved, Mary's name will be recognized. God showed her favor. So she was blessed to be the bearer of God. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. You see, Elizabeth is seeing by the Holy Spirit blessings. What does she say in verse 43? Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The word Lord here is meant as a divine title. And then she says, blessed is she who believed. Notice that blessing accompanies faith. Mary is not privileged to carry the Christ child because of her own merits. Mary was a sinner, just like me and just like you. But she was chosen by God to bear a son, the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the evil one. See, because of the Spirit of God, a woman sees the Lord of blessing. Mary enters the house of Elizabeth. They spend time together. And Elizabeth, by the Spirit of God, sees what God is doing. He sees what the Lord is doing. And even her little infant leaps. Because the Lord is in Mary's womb. Well, the Scripture tells us later on in verse 57 that this child that Elizabeth carries is born. Look at verse 57. Now, Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Sounds like a celebration of birth. We might want to pass that over, but turn back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 14. Is this not also what Gabriel said would happen? Gabriel being that angel who was sent to Zacharias, the father of John. Look there, verse 14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. The Scriptures coming true just in this one chapter. So as it relates to Elizabeth and her song, because of the Spirit of God, she sees the Lord of blessing. Have you seen the Lord of blessing? Christ has not come into this room or come into your life in the womb. This child would have been born, would live a perfect life, would teach, would heal, would proclaim the kingdom of God, would die on a cruel Roman cross, bearing the sins of all the people that would ever trust in him. And he would die His heart would stop beating. His lungs would stop breathing. And on the third day, he would be raised. And Christ is now presented to the whole world. Has the Spirit of God opened your eyes to see what he's doing? To see the Lord of blessing? And you, like Elizabeth, can sing of the Lord of blessing. But secondly, there's Mary and her song. Now, if you have a copy of the English scriptures, like most of us do, you'll notice this one actually looks a little bit more like a song, doesn't it? The writers of the publishers of your version kind of put it there because it seems more like a traditional song. But Mary sings. Let me give you a theme to kind of help you follow along. Because of the mercy of God, a woman sings of covenant blessing. This time it's Mary. Because of the mercy of God, a woman sings of covenant blessing. Let's look at this. Verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on all those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Because of the mercy of God, a woman, this time Mary, sings of covenant blessing. What do I mean by covenant blessing? Look at the end of the song first. Who is mentioned? Abraham. Well, that's the father of the Hebrews. That goes all the way back to the first book of the Bible, where God told Abraham, through your seed, the seed of the woman's going to come. And Abraham, you're going to have sons and daughters that you won't be able to count. And Mary, a believer in God's covenant promise, is now singing that the promises given to forefathers like Abraham, they're coming true. The seed of the woman that was to come through Abraham's seed has now come and is in Mary's womb. And then she sings, and this song is bathed in Old Testament scripture. We don't have time to walk through all of it, but there are quite a few striking similarities to the song that Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you remember Hannah? Barren, without a child, praying. Praying so intently that at one point a worker in the temple thinks that she's intoxicated. Barrenness, of course, a symbol for curse in that time. The Lord gives her blessing where there was curse. Commentator William Hendrickson notes all of the connections between Mary's song and Hannah's song. Just listen to a few of these. Mary says in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord," similar to what Hannah says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Mary calls the Lord's name holy, so does Hannah. Mary says that God has scattered the proud. There are similar themes in Hannah's song. Mary says that he's lifted up the humble. So does Hannah. And Mary says in verse 53 that the hungry will be filled with good things. Similar in theme to what Hannah prays in 1 Samuel 2, 5 and 7. You see, all of the scripture is meant to fit together. 66 books, but they're all one big story of what God is doing. He creates the world. He puts us in covenant relationship with Him in His grace and love. He says, "Live before me, spread my glory from one end of the earth to the other. Be my image bearers. And enter into glory." And we failed. Our first father, Adam, ate of the tree that he was not supposed to eat of, and he plunged all of us into sin. And lest you be too hard on Adam, you now sit here with your own sin, mounting every day. Things that God tells you to do, you don't do. And the things that God asks you not to do, those are the things that you do with your thoughts, boys and girls, with your words, sometimes with your bodies. So God says from the very beginning, I'm going to send one born of a woman who will crush the seed of the serpent. And now, thousands of years later, Mary sings that these covenant promises, they're happening. You know, but her song is not just connected to what Hannah prays. Why is Hannah's song so important? Well, remember, Samuel was going to be the beginnings of the work of kings among Hebrews. He would be the one to anoint kings. So now there's a symmetry, isn't there? A barren woman is given a son who's dedicated to the Lord, who will be instrumental in providing kings for God's people. Mary, been chosen of the Lord, given a son, and her son would be the king of the world. Commentators point to the fact that Mary would have been a Jewess, a young Hebrew child. She would have heard the scriptures. You might read this and you might think, wasn't she like a teenager? How did she know all of this stuff? Well, by the Holy Spirit, of course. But she would have been catechized. She would have been taught scripture as a little girl. And there are connections. Time will fail us, but each one of these verses connects us to scripture after scripture in the Old Testament, from the prophets, from Psalms, from the book of history. Each one of these verses sounds like themes and stories and patterns from the Old Testament. It's as if the New Testament is now interpreting in plain sight what all of the Old Testament has said is coming. This is what it's all been about. And so, because of the mercy of God, a woman, Mary, sings of covenant blessing. Notice in verse 50, she moves from the personal. Her first opening lines are about herself, right? My spirit is rejoiced in God, my Savior. He has regarded the lowly state of me. He has done great things for me. But look at verse 50, the pronouns change. And now she's talking about hosts of people. And His mercy is on those who fear Him. Do you fear the Lord? Has God so changed your heart that you walk before the Lord in fear and reverence and worship each day through Christ and what Christ has done for you alone? If you do, God's mercy is on you, friend. So now we get this discussion. Look at verse 50. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. But look at the opposite, verse 51 and 52. Those who rely in themselves or in their own provision, they don't look to the Lord to provide it. They rely on their own provision. His mercy is not on them. Look at verse 51. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Verse 53, He's filled the hungry, and the rich He sent away. Now, does that mean that to be rich in this life is a sin? Not at all. There are more responsibilities that come with the more that you steward. But I wouldn't encourage you to look at this as money. Look at this as a symbol. Those who are hungry, those who cannot provide for themselves. They know it, they see it, they've got to have the Lord give it. The Lord provides. But those who rest in themselves and their own provision, the Lord sends away empty. Friend, have you come to the Lord, the living God, the true and living God, the Savior of the world? The one who made all things, the one who is pristine justice. Have you come to Him on your own terms and said, I've got my own righteousness. I've got my own way, God. Let me into your kingdom. The whole book of Luke will turn that on its head. All throughout it, it's those who rely on themselves that are sent away. And those who are resting in God alone to provide what He says He will provide to any who come to Him by faith, they're received and they're given mercy upon mercy. Our sins, they are many. But His mercy is more. And she finishes with covenant song. I wish we had time to talk about covenant. It's a theme that I desperately love. God has a covenant weaving throughout Scripture. And there are covenants of promise all throughout the pages of Scripture. You could make the argument that even after the fall, promises given to Adam, blood is shed. To Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to David. And it results now in all the promises being fulfilled in Christ. Because remember what God said to Abraham. You're going to have more children than you can count, Abraham. What does Paul say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29? If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs, children that inherit, heirs according to the promise. See, Mary sings of God's blessing, of mercy. By His Spirit, Elizabeth sings. But there's a third song in our text, and I want us to look at it briefly. It's Zacharias. We've read already verses 57 and 58, but John the Baptist is born. He is going to be that last prophet, if you will, that prepares the way for Jesus to come. Look at verse 59. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. They would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. This isn't just a husband and wife agreeing. No, my husband says he's going to be called John. That's what we're going to do. There is that. But I think we're meant to see that Elizabeth believes what Gabriel said. His name is to be called John. Verse 61, but they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. So they made signs to his father what he would have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is John. Can you imagine that? Have massive reveal parties today. Cupcakes with colors and all this kind of stuff. Here we have a reveal party for a name that's in dispute. His name is John. Why? Because God said that his name would be John. And there's meaning here. And then what happens? If you will allow it, I think many people have seen what we could call a mini Pentecost here. A mouth is opened and prophecy comes out. Look at verse 64. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them kept them in their hearts saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. That is John, who was going to prepare the way for Jesus. So then Zacharias prophesies, filled with the Spirit. See there in verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So our third song is this. Because of the work of God, a man proclaims salvation blessing. I hope you're seeing a pattern there. Those of you that are note takers, notice our three songs. Elizabeth, because of the Spirit of God, a woman sees the Lord a blessing. Mary, because of the mercy of God, a woman sings of covenant blessing. And now Zacharias, because of the work of God, a man proclaims salvation blessing. Quickly then, how does he proclaim salvation blessing? Well, look what he says. First word out of his mouth, blessed. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. For he has visited and redeemed his people. Now, brothers and sisters, we don't often use charts around here. But if we had the time to put up on a screen or a piece of paper all of the ways that each of these individuals speak and all of the connections of the Old Testament, it would be astounding. Just that phrase, visited. In the original language, This isn't Zacharias coming up with something neat. The theme of visitation is a theme that goes all the way back to the Exodus of God's people from Egypt. How God visits redemption. It's like God shows up and brings redemption. And now Zacharias, a believing Hebrew, says, this is what God has done. Verses 68 through 75 are one long sentence in the original language. And I just want to give you quickly kind of a few things that Zacharias sings about or prophesies about. Verse 68, how God visits redemption. Verse 69, how God provides a king who is a savior. Verse 70 through 74, how the God who is the living God has in his work provided merciful covenant keeping. Look, just like Mary, Zacharias was a little bit of a covenant theologian. Brings up the oath sworn to Abraham. Verse 75, God has delivered righteousness. Look at 75. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. What is it that this salvation is ultimately to provide? Deliverance and a new life. And then Zacharias says, this child, God, John, that you've given me, he's going to do several things. Look at verse 76. He's going to be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Oh, beloved, there is so much here. Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Quickly, John is going to go ahead of Jesus, and he's going to, number one, proclaim that there's forgiveness of sins. You ever read the first chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 1? What does John the Baptist do? He points over to Jesus. There he is, the Lamb of God, who does what? Takes away the sins of the world. Some of you might be here today and you might be thinking, this church seems like a great place, a kind place, but I wish they wouldn't talk so much about sin. Friend, we must talk about sin if we're going to talk about the God whose mercy is greater than our sins. The Scripture says as much. That we need knowledge of salvation. We need to know what our problem is. It's sin, rebellion against God, seeking to go at it our own way, build our own righteousness. John is going to go ahead of Christ and proclaim, this is what's happening. And then Jesus is going to do it gloriously. Verse 78 of Zacharias' song. Through the tender mercy of our God. I don't know what your English version has, but it's literally most clunky, through God's bowels of mercy. You may be thinking, what? Well, boys and girls, we talk about how we love one another with all of our heart. Your mommy, your daddy may come up to you and they may say, I love you with all my heart. I know this sounds funny, but you know, they didn't used to do that back in these days. It was more about the intestines. Be some interesting Valentine's cards for sure. But the Lord, our God, does not have a body. He's spirit. But what is used here is physical language. It is as if Zacharias is singing and he wants to find a picture. And our English translations perhaps kind of try, whether they should or not, to clean it up. It's more than tender mercy. God is rich in mercy, in providing salvation to sinners. Some of you here today think you are too far gone for God to save you. God's final word over every sinner is there is not one who is ever too far gone. Your sins, they are many and they deserve my wrath. But my mercy is more. So Zacharias completes his song, verse 79, that John is going to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death and to provide the way of peace. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it the way you and I should do it, pointing people to Jesus. So what lessons do we close with? Four simple things, and I'm just going to give them to you quickly. And I pray that you'd meditate on these this week and think about them. Talk about them at table. Number one, Christ is the only one through whom the blessings of God come. All of these people are singing about blessings. And it's all because God is sending Christ, fully God, truly God, fully man, who puts on our flesh and lives the life that Adam and we were to live. And when he died, makes full atonement for sins. Christ is the only one through whom blessings come. Secondly, God comes to sinful humanity with overwhelming mercy. Think about that. God visits or comes to sinful humanity with overwhelming mercy. You see that in verse 50, verse 54, verse 68. In these songs, particularly the last two, what do you see? God visiting sinners and being seen as a God of mercy. Third lesson, God blesses even the lowliest with His favor. God blesses even the lowliest with His favor. Now think about this word lowliest. Think about it for just a moment. It could be lowliest in terms of status on the earth. Whatever that means to you. But it could also be interpreted as God blesses even the one who deserves His favor the least. You see that in verses 48, 53, 71. And lastly, in these three songs, we see this, and we're done. And don't miss this. God will ultimately fill places of darkness with His blessing. God will ultimately fill places of darkness with His blessing. Verse 53, verse 71, verse 79. Look at verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness. Friends, we have darkness all across our streets. We have darkness in the halls of politicians. We have darkness in movements and philosophies that span the globe. We have darkness as dictators want to stamp out their people. And we have darkness in our own hearts when we hate our neighbor. Darkness, darkness everywhere. And yet, what does this Christ provide? The Christ of whom these three sing. Light and blessing in the midst of darkness. Can you imagine, friend, on that great day when Christ returns and there is not a single place on all the earth where darkness exists and reigns? And can you imagine that day, oh sinner, who even this week is so down about how sinful you have seen yourself be? Can you imagine that day when Christ comes and you breathe resurrection life and not one part of your heart is dark at all? God will ultimately fill places of darkness with His blessing. And all of this is definitely worth singing about. Let's pray. Almighty God, we read of Elizabeth and Mary and Zacharias' songs of blessing. And we see that you've given us these words for our own benefit, that we might see that you have visited the world in your mercy. Oh Lord, may we rest today in what Christ has done. These things we pray in Jesus' name.